Right now, it's time for our daily Stampeder report, and we are joined by the head coach, Dave Dickinson. Dave, good morning.
Good morning.
Mitch Marner was offered, according to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, 7 years, $11 million per season, and that's not really what they're looking for.
Hmm.
How does what where are we living? What world are we in when that, you know?
Yeah, I do think he's a good player, but like you said, I'm more concerned on what we're going to get Tkachuk for, because, man, that's really driving the market up.
I know.
So, no doubt. You know, I don't know what it seems to me. Hockey's making a lot of money. I know it's popular up here, but I know in certain U.S. markets, certainly doing well as well, but it sounds like a lot, especially with guaranteed contracts. So, but hey, if you can get it, go get it.
Now, don't you have some sway in the negotiations? You're part of the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Group. You could probably get in on that, right?
With Tkachuk? Yeah, no. Brad Tree Living calls all the time looking for my advice. But, you know, it just hasn't worked out, I guess. So maybe I got to rethink my philosophy on this.
Yeah, well, you know, you got a lot going on, but maybe give him a call today and just see, because clearly they're at it's a stalemate. Things are not going well.
Well, I think, like everything else, you know, when you're trying to see what the market value is, but yet you got to realize, this is what I always tell our guys, decide what's going to make you happy. So, like, if you want to play and you want to play here, what's, you know, really is 8.5, 9 million or 10 million a year? I mean, is that extra million going to make you happier? You're going to have everything you want. It's where you want to play. It's the organization you want to be in. And once you sign the contract, don't worry about what other guys are making. Go out there and play your best. So that's what we live with. That's what we try to sell over here. So hopefully that'll work.
What was it like for you when you're younger, your dream is to play in the NFL, you're kind of breaking in, but you're just perfect world. You're going to get the job and you're going to keep it. What's it like when there's other guys who seemingly take it a little bit for granted and are going through contract impasses, because you've lived it. What's it like being on the other end when you're just dying to play and other guys are bickering over millions?
Well, I mean, I never had that issue of bickering over millions, so I don't really know what that's like. I know that we had some weird things here. You know, I don't think there's ever really been a contract holdout in the CFL. I just think same thing as, like, labor unrest. I think you're fooling yourself if you think that even the CFL goes on strike. That's a no-win for everybody involved. So you kind of try to work together a little bit. But, you know, my thought, like I said, is it really worth it? I mean, when I was younger, my parents, they had a teacher strike down in Great Falls, Montana. I was 16. My brother's 17. My dad was, like, the only one that didn't vote yes for it, because he said it's really not going to pay off. I mean, you might be setting the stage for younger teachers and all that, but he said really all you're going to do is create enemies and create basically, you know, in people basically are going to get upset about nothing. And that's exactly what happened. And yet my brother and I, we missed a football game, and the coaches of the football team came back early, and that the rest of the teachers hated them because they crossed the picket line. So all these type of things, honestly, I don't know if they ever really pay off. You know, Melvin Gordon in the NFL, what are you doing? I mean, you got a contract, go play. You're making $5.5 million, go play. And pretty soon you're going to lose your job anyway. So to me, I don't really get it. You know, let's go. Let's play the game we love. You're still really, really rich. And move on.
We'll burn this tape. Excuse me. We'll burn this tape when your next contract comes up with the Stampeders, and you're looking for a pay raise. We'll keep this quiet.
Do, yeah, yeah. What do you think my odds are of winning that contract negotiation?
I think they're good.
You're okay.
You are perfect on Labor Day. You've got great cups. Your team is now tied for second in the West. All of a sudden, I think you have a very good shot.
Well, I think they treat me well here, so I'll just certainly have never really thought that I was overpaid, but I certainly think I'm treated well.
Good way to put it.
I chuckled out loud. My wife actually made a comment. I was watching the football game from the weekend, and the hot mic had you saying, "That's reviewable. That's a reviewable play. That's reviewable." And my wife was like, "Who is that? Who is saying that? It's so annoying." And I said, "Well, that's the coach, and he's on pins and needles because the refereeing is a joke from one week to the next. He has to coach and referee the game at the same time. You're spoon-feeding the refs the rules. I like that."
Well, that was probably on that roughing the holder, which, I mean, our guy had a great landmark. His back foot grazed the front of the mask of the holder. It took the holder by surprise so much that he fell directly on his back. And so I thought it was just like anybody that watched the New Orleans-Houston game, that wasn't roughing the kicker. And so our rules do allow that to be reviewed, and I was hoping they'd pick up the flag. Guess what? It didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, just trying to work angles and also trying to make sure that, you know, we're getting the calls that are certainly there, but maybe fixing calls that aren't there.
How about that game Monday? What an amazing... I figured if things went poorly there in New Orleans, they were going to burn that place, like the city, to the ground. But Breeze and Will Lutz get it done. What a finish, right?
Yeah, I was actually like driving home on the radio and hear it. And then right when I got in, I saw the kick. I mean, to be honest, it was just completely crazy how they go 75 yards in 13 seconds. Houston, that is.
Yeah.
To me, as a coach, that's why your lives are short, because you can't understand why a DB would take a double move. I mean, why are you taking a double move in that time of the game to get them into that area? And then coach calls what we would call basically is show zero, meaning they're going to blitz, but they're going to drop out guys a wall underneath routes while they give up the post for the touchdown. I mean, to be honest, if I'm Drew, I'm thinking, what the hell is going on here? And then he comes out, and then we coach these things all the time, but I don't know why they didn't let the guy just sit there and let the clock run out. You don't have to touch him at the end there. So there's a lot of things, obviously, but people panic, you know, and they get in situations, and they, instead of just kind of thinking beforehand, hey, what do you think they're going to do? What do you think they're going to try? They just kind of just fall back and panic and get nervous, and things actually a lot of times don't go your way. But amazing kick. They got great kickers. I think the kicking in the NFL is insanely good. I mean, it's 58-yard. You wouldn't have seen people thinking that was had a good shot 10, 15 years ago. And now almost all these kickers can kick it that far.
And it was well good from 58. It had gone 60.
Yeah, and I mean, you look across the league. I mean, we have great kickers too. I just think kicking game has gotten so much better than what I remember it. And I think it's because, you know, people realize they can make some pretty good coin and they don't have to get hit. So, you know, long snappers, kickers, punters, I think that's really obviously an area that's gotten way better than when I first showed up in the mid-90s.
Yeah, but it's also the worst. Who's the Chicago kicker from last year who went doink, doink off the uprights at the end of the game?
He hit five. I mean, if he doesn't, let's just say he hits three out of five that hit the upright, he's a star. But if he hits five kicks, you know, three in one game, I don't know. Go out there and try it. It's hard as hell.
I know it is.
Try to kick.
It is hard.
And then you put in all that pressure and all that. It's certainly not easy. And yet these guys just plug it through. Same with our guy, Renee. He just plugs it through and seems to go well.
You make the kicks and you've done your job. You miss one and then you've got people dumping garbage on your front lawn. That's the life of a kicker.
That's in Regina, isn't it?
Something like that.
Is it garbage, though? I wasn't sure about that.
And I think they got the neighbor instead of his lawn.
We'll call it waste. How about that? We'll call it waste.
Paulie's one of my, Paul McCallum, he's one of my good friends. So anyway, yeah, I definitely know the good story on that. I don't know if it's a good story, but I definitely know the real story.
Well, let's hear the, because people will remember, Paul McCallum, longtime kicker with the Riders, misses an important kick and then some fans decided they were going to dump manure on his lawn, and actually, was it his neighbor's lawn? What is the story?
Yeah, you want to call it fans? I don't think fans drop manure on. That is a story. Now, the crazy thing is, I remind him all the time, is because he ended up joining us after that, is as of the BC Lions, we still had another series. I mean, we were rolling with the ball. We were scoring. We'd scored our last three drives. And so, yes, he missed a short kick, but it wasn't like they had cost him. They were going to win anyway. They might have won, I guess, but we ended up making a field goal in ours. And so that, you know, best case scenario is probably going to another overtime. But, yeah, that's what happened. And obviously, I'm not sure exactly who did it or if they got in trouble, but I believe there was some Pilsner involved. And certainly I'm hoping someone didn't do something like that sober.
And it was the wrong lawn, right? Is that is
it
that...
was. It was a neighbor's. Yep. Right.
I remember talking about it at the time. Because there's layers to it. There's, like you say, the frustration, you're angry, okay. But there were other opportunities to win the game still. Mm-hmm. Then, so now you're angry and you're full of Pilsner. Now you got to find the manure. So you're going to go, you're going to get the manure. At this point, it's still a good idea. You then load a truck full of manure. Then you find the address and you start to drive there. It's still in your mind a good idea. There's nobody that said, hey, you know what? Should we really be doing it? There was no common sense. There was no voice of reason. They went through the whole thing before, and no one thought, nah, let's just pump the brakes a little bit.
Thing about it, in Regina, you only have to drive probably 3-4 minutes to get across the city. So you don't have far to drive, so you don't have as much time to think, probably.
So you win a big game on the weekend. You sweep the Eskimos, 33-17. You talk about your kicker. He goes 4-for-4. Another great game for Reggie Begelton, Eric Rogers. Not a lot went wrong for you in this football game. I just want to ask you about Colton Hunchak. It's always about next man up. He comes in, goes 5-for-5 for you, and you can see what it meant for him to get into the game in a, obviously the rivalry being what it was, but to contribute to the win. I love it when those guys get an opportunity and get to feel it.
Yeah, to be honest, we didn't play very good. We played well enough to win, but certainly not as good as we need to and will need to in the next game here against Hamilton. But for Colton, I didn't know if he was going to play the whole game at that position. I had some ideas. I just wanted to see how he could handle it. But he made a nice play early on, and he's very assignment sound. He loves the game. Like you said, he has parents, his lady and his daughter up there. So I know it meant a lot to him. But he just, you know what, I just believe that he knows the game of football. He believes in himself. Now, athletically, is he probably as fast or as tall or strong as maybe some other guys? No, but that doesn't always translate. I think, obviously, look at same thing in sports. I mean, was Gretzky really an athlete? I mean, or is he just super smart and just knew where to go and was clutch? Great vision. I don't know. I never really see. He doesn't look like a great athlete, but a lot of times it's guys that just know how to get open, wiggle into the right areas, and then they believe in themselves. And just when the ball comes their way, they make the play, and that's what Colton did.
Yeah. The run game.
Don't compare Colton to Gretzky yet, though.
Well, I wasn't sure where to go there.
I don't want to give him that. His head would really swell on that one.
No, I think if anything, you said he doesn't look like an athlete. That was probably what
that was kind of where I was going.
Okay, good.
Actually, the greatest of all time, and 5 catches for 50 yards in his career. Yes.
They did a good job of stopping the run, or you didn't run effectively. Which was it?
Well, I mean, you could probably say a little of both. I mean, I don't know if we did as good a job as we could have done, but I'll give them credit. What happens in these back-to-back games a lot of times, if you have success, you're going to keep those type of run plays, those thoughts, because you think, well, it's working. Why am I going to change it? You might put a little lipstick on it just to change the looks, and hopefully they don't recognize it. But they then changed their scheme and what they were doing. And so some of our run game early, we certainly we didn't have the angles and the numbers that we were hoping to have. So I had to get away from it, to be honest. And by doing that, though, when you do take away the run, usually you do open up windows and give away other things. So that's why we went heavier to the pass. But they did a nice job. We could have done better. We are a better team when we're balanced, so hopefully we can get back to that.
The Rob Maver goes 1-for-1 for 25 yards in the passing game. How far in advance of that scenario did you know you were going to make that call?
Well, I had it in my mind. Usually, it's funny because with Mark Killam, he goes, I'll watch the first one and then see if the look is there. And then I liked the situation and I liked where we were, so it was the first punt. I forgot I was on live mic. And so I literally called it, and then I started having cold feet, like your wedding day a little bit. They're like, oh, damn, I hope they didn't hear that on the live mic. And I'm not sure what they were playing. So anyway, I certainly had nerves. Rob did a great job. Same, we executed really well, and that was a huge play for us to get that, not only the first down, but we ended up scoring on that. So for us, that was basically a game-changing moment.
The other player on your team who threw passes, Bo Levi Mitchell, 25-for-40, does throw 3 interceptions in this game, but the 2 touchdowns as well. What did you make of Bo's second outing post injury?
Yeah, I thought he started slow, and then he really turned it on. I get an interception or two here or there. I mean, we got to be a little bit more careful with the ball on certain situations, but they get paid too. You know, but he's slinging it pretty good. I thought, honestly, that with the pressure, he had a little bit of pressure in the pocket. Sometimes his feet didn't match his throws, and that's where we got to make sure we get back to. I think when your feet and your frame is ready to go, I think you can make better throws. But once again, he does what we need to, made a couple really great throws, moved around in the pocket, doesn't take a sack. I mean, he got hit a few times for sure, but he knows when to get rid of the ball. So, you know, still a real solid game for Bo.
Trevor Harris goes down in this game and Logan Kilgore comes in. When that happens, is there a backup game plan for, okay, if by chance the backup quarterback comes in, this is what we're going to do? Or is it just kind of a feel thing for you guys?
No change in plan. I mean, I think obviously the quarterbacks have different strengths. I'm sure like a backup goalie goes in there, maybe gives up the glove more than the blocker. So you maybe have a little bit different strategy, but the system's not changing. They're going to do what they do. And whether that he has the same knowledge and has the same talents to have the same effectiveness, that's always debatable. But just stay with it. Don't lose your focus and don't lose your drive, though, because sometimes when the backup comes in, you're like, oh, we got this. And as you can see, there's a lot of talented backups in our league. So, you know, he still made some throws against us. I know we can be better, but, you know, when we got our pick six, I thought that was obviously the play that kind of gave us that insurmountable lead, let you breathe a little deeper.
You mentioned we've had a chance to see a lot of young backup quarterbacks. Everyone but BC has had to go to a different quarterback because of an injury this year. Is this just, I mean, obviously it's a physical game, but 8 of 9 teams needing to go to the backup quarterback is kind of insane. Is there anything you've noticed that has brought this on?
No, I mean, I think they're getting hit less than ever, too, so I really do. The rules are big time in their favor. You know, it's just maybe one of those things, one of those freak years. I don't think anything's been super severe. I think a lot of them are back. Ours is back, obviously. I think Caleros could play if they gave him the green light. I'm just not sure if they've given him that. So, you know, probably the quarterback that's taken the most hits, that's taken the most abuse, is the one that hasn't missed a snap. So there's really no correlation, in my opinion, on that.
Dave, good stuff today. I just kind of kept track. So you took a run at Wayne Gretzky. Hunchak doesn't look like an athlete. The people of Regina. Now you kind of admitted you had cold feet on your wedding day. So even Mrs. Dickinson kind of taking it a little bit from you today. So good job. You've made the rounds.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Commie's in your deal. I should have taken a run at him. But
you know what? I feel bad.
I'll work on that for next week.
There's always next week. I'll be ready.
Okay. Because yeah, I definitely had some ammo for Warner, but he decided to peace out. So
that's right.
I'll come up with something on you.
Sounds all right. Good. We'll do it again in a week.
All right. Cheers, guys. Take
thanks,
it easy.
Coach.
You bet. Dave Dickinson.